The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has a morning off. He's under the weather. He wasn't feeling well. He actually was with me for the first half hour of the show today and then just got really, really under the weather. And so it's like, go home. So we hope he's resting comfortably right now. So it's you and me. And, you know, after talking to the last caller, because we've talked about a variety of things today. A couple things we've talked about, Nancy Pelosi in the meeting with Democrats, where she apparently said, "I don't want to impeach Trump. I want to see him in prison." And I said, "For what?" And Gerald Nadler's really pushing her and other Democratic leaders for an impeachment inquiry. And we've said this in the very beginning: expect that because of where Attorney General Barr is going. But I have to say this because I have colleagues in the business who say, "How did you and Eric keep up on all of this? It gets really complicated." And I said, "Actually, it doesn't. When you do the flow chart, and especially now after 2.5 years, we have a lot clearer indication of what the entire the flow chart is of the suspected wrongdoings and or crimes." And a lot of people find it boring. The only challenge is explaining it to people, and I will in a second here, in a very simple way, under a minute, so they all understand it. Because when you throw out all these names, and I realize I had done that before with the last caller, but he knew what was going on. But every time I throw out a bunch of names, I'm thinking to myself, am I losing people out there? Do they understand, the players involved in this? Because it must seem like, and we get this all the time, how do you guys keep track of it? It's amazing the knowledge that you have. And it's like, well, no, we just followed it every day. And it's sort of like, you know what it's like for me? I got a ton of friends. When I used to be a radio station manager, I got a ton of friends that I helped give them their first sports jobs. And they're sports talk show hosts now today. And I'll listen to their shows once in a while. And I'm like, how do they do this? And it's like they start going down through the draft. This guy lifted this amount and ran this and did this. I'm like, how do they know all this stuff? Wow. It's sports. Boy, how do you get all that knowledge and know all those statistics? Because they do it every day. It's simple. It's like you and your job. If you do it every day, you do your job every day, whatever you do. I don't care what it is, but whatever you do and somebody new comes in and you need to train them, and you realize, God, does it take a long time, Come on, it's not that hard because you've been doing it for such a long time. But it is, to me, and I said this yesterday, but I think it's important because I want as many people out there to be interested in it. And I'm not saying this just to get you interested in it, because this, to me, is could possibly be one of the biggest political scandals in the history of the United States. But I'm saying that it's really interesting because it is a whodunit. And I know that Americans love murder mysteries. I know, because my mother and I got a friend of mine, they're addicted to them. And I'll start watching them. What is it, 2020? Is 2020 one of them? And then I forgot the Dateline. They always do the criminal things, and I don't watch them often, but when I do, I'm sucked right in. Well, I got sucked into all of this. It's what I do for a living. It's what Eric and I do, but it's also really interesting, and it's a puzzle that you're trying to put together. And so for the people that are brand new, if you're listening, you've never listened to the show before, or you've listened, but you're like, oh, God, it's just so complicated. There's so many names involved in it. Let me simplify it real quick for you. the whole thing with the president colluding with the Russians to hack the election or to change the outcome of the election, which eventually began, and the special prosecutor found nothing there. Well, the evidence was a dossier. It was information that was put together by a former British spy. And he went inside the Kremlin to get it. And it ended up being false. That's why there was nothing. That's why Mueller came away with it. Well, it was the DNC and the Hillary campaign that in 2016 paid Christopher Steele, funneled the money through two different organizations, but paid the money to Christopher Steele, who then got that false information from inside the Kremlin, which we call now disinformation and propaganda. That found its way to the FBI, who then took that false information in order to get a secret warrant to spy on the Trump campaign and spy on Carter Page of the Trump campaign. They got a secret warrant to spy. Well, then the election passed and Trump won. Then inside the Obama administration, there were many people in the leadership positions of the intelligence departments and law enforcement that took that information and widely disseminated it through the Obama administration in order to have it leak to the press in order to destroy the reputation and the legitimacy of Trump winning the 2016 election. That's where we are today. And that's what William Barr is looking into. How did that happen? And Barr has said it. He said, look, you had 2 years of a presidential administration basically destroyed because of this. We need to find out why it happened. How can you get a secret warrant with false information that came from the Kremlin and was pushed by members of America's law enforcement and intelligence leadership? Now that, when you break it down like that, it's not that hard to understand. And I think when people understand it, you see the seriousness of that. And so when we have talked about, for example, the infighting going on between Comey and James Comey, former head of the FBI, and James Brennan, former head of the CIA under the Obama administration, fighting back and forth about who pushed that dossier. And we have said, just think about that for a moment. You want a political scandal? Think about this. The possibility that the FBI director or somebody in the Department of Justice and the head of the CIA and possibly the NSA, that they pushed and tried to legitimize Russian propaganda and disinformation in order to destroy the legitimacy of a presidential election. And then you understand the seriousness of this. Now, everything that we have said, this is very important because a lot of allegations were thrown out of Trump and none of them ended up being true. General allegations. These aren't general allegations. We know that the Hillary campaign and the DNC had this is not up for debate. Nobody's debating it. Everybody know it's they all know it's true. The DNC and the Hillary campaign paid the money to a law firm, Perkins Coie, who then funneled that money to an opposition research group. And an opposition research group is simply a business where if you're a politician, you go to them and you say, find dirt on my opponent. So the Hillary campaign and the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, took that money, gave it to a law firm who funneled that money to the opposition research group. That's what they do. They find dirt on the opponent. They hired Christopher Steele, a former British spy, who then went to his contacts in the Kremlin and Russian contacts in America and in the Kremlin and got this dirt and put it together in a dossier. And that's where we are now. When we talk about Christopher Steele, who put that together, is now going to testify, or is now going to give an interview, which he'll be under oath. He can't lie, and he'll be talking to federal investigators. And as we played the audio cut from the New York Times reporter who said he's doing this because he doesn't want to be thrown under the bus. We went, thrown under the bus by whom? And the only people that we could think that would want to throw him under the bus, it certainly isn't Barr. Barr doesn't want to throw him under the bus. Who'd want to throw him under the bus? The other people who might be implicated in this, who would be Comey, Brennan, Clapper, right? And that's why we said Strzok, Page, McCabe, anybody who was involved in pushing or dealing with this dossier, then might have an incentive to try to say, he's the guy that did it. And I'm sure their lawyers would be saying it. And I think that's what Christopher Steele, if they're talking about Christopher Steele, thinks he's going to be thrown under the bus, they're going to put the blame on him. By the way, that's what you want if you're an investigator. You want this kind of thing happening. So there you go. I just thought I would lay it out to you because we need to do that. We've tried to do it as often as possible because if people just tune in and they don't know what's going on, they'll sit there and they'll think, this is like doing calculus. I hated math. I hated algebra. And now you're asking me to do calculus? I don't think so. I really am not in the mood to do calculus today. Because it does with all the players involved in it. I probably could confuse you in the next 30 seconds if I wanted to, and I'm not going to do that. I could throw out a ton of names, but just to basically give you the flow chart. So it's very easy to understand. Because once you understand it and once you start learning more about it, it does become like a murder mystery. Like, or a whodunit. Because that's what you want to know. And Eric and I were talking about Sean Hannity the other day. It was like, he was just so antsy. He wants more. I want more information. I want more information. I want more. And I understand where he's coming from on it because I want more information. I want to know what happened. The number one reason is because I want transparency and I want this exposed to the American people. But I've got to tell you, it is a whodunit. You want to know how this thing is ending up. It is an incredible, at the same time, tragic time in American political history because it just might be the biggest political scandal in American history. And so it is fascinating that we have gotten to this point and still have a ton of questions left, but so many of the dots have been connected where you know something wrong has been done here. Your calls and comments coming up. If you'd like to get in, we'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Your pump for summer, but are your tires? As the temperature rises, so does the importance of tire maintenance. The key to staying on the road this summer is to stay on top of regular tire inspections. Heat is a tire's worst enemy. The hotter a tire gets, the more likely a failure is to occur. Extreme heat not only causes tire rubber to deteriorate quicker, it also increases the pressure in tires. On a hot summer day, highway surface temperatures can climb to more than 150 degrees. Combine that with an underinflated tire that's already running hot, and it's only a matter of time before you have a serious tire issue on your hands. Check your tire pressure regularly to make sure it matches the recommended cold PSI level indicated on the sidewall of the tire. For extra tire assistance, stop into a TH truck service near you and let one of our expert technicians help.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off, so it's you and me, and we're in a discussion about Christopher Steele, who the former British spy, who's the one who called the author of the dossier, and why he is so willing and why he wishes, what is his incentive to testify to federal investigators or interview with federal investigators where he has to tell the truth. We go to Daniel in Houston. Daniel, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah. I was just curious. I know Julian Assange is being investigated by the DOJ for the espionage.
Yes.
I guess I had to do with classified information with the CIA. But I was curious as to what outliers within the Espionage Act might apply to Christopher Steele, even though they were private citizens. It just seems that there would be protections against that kind of misinformation campaigns against.
Well, again,
because of the impact it had.
Well, remember, Assange, you're not going forward just for having information. They're going after him for hacking, for part of the conspiracy to get into American computers. You would have a case. Might you not have a better case for the Russians charging him with espionage?
Yeah,
but I have this feeling that since he was in the business of doing it and actually did his business from the company in Great Britain, whose name is just evades me right now, that he actually had worked for and been contracted to that does this. They get information for different governments, that he probably most likely contacted his sources, who then contacted people inside of Russian intelligence and said, hey, this guy's looking for information, and they fed him a bunch of crap. I have a feeling that's what most likely happened. But if there's a case for espionage, it might be the Russians who would want to get him. One might think that it might be the Russians, you know? So
I don't know. What.
Yeah, it's a good question to ask because I don't know the answer. So anything is you know for you to bring up questions is just like me bringing up questions. I don't know. I don't know what the only thing I can think of, and this goes by the New York Times reporter who we played earlier, that the incentive is he doesn't want to be thrown under the bus because he knows that if they go after Comey, if they go after McCabe, if they go after Brennan, that those lawyers will be coming directly at him and will be trying to destroy his credibility. They will want to blame him because he's the messenger, right? Go after the messenger. But my other point would be, well, does he think that they would be able to get him for a crime? And would the lawyers for anybody in the FBI or Department of Justice or the intelligence agencies, would they be able to come up with a crime and say, wait a minute, Christopher Steele committed this crime, and Steele knows that. I'm just trying to figure out what that crime is. So your guess is as good as mine. So going down the espionage road, I understand. It's just I don't see where you would have that against the United States. That would be something that the Russians might do. So it could be as simple as he doesn't know. It's a great unknown, and he just knows he's the messenger. And he understands. He probably now believes, he understands they got a secret warrant based on false information. And somebody might be going to jail. And if somebody's going to jail and I'm the messenger, they're going to try to pin something on me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what angle they'll take. But I'm going to speak before anybody else does. I'm going to get to the investigators first. Because right now I believe I am clean, and I'm going to stay clean by making sure they've got my story first. That's the only thing that I can think. That would be closest to it. But everybody's talking in cryptic terms here. We've heard it the last couple of days. Oh, this is a bad thing for him. Why is it bad? And we've been asking the questions that are trying to get right to the point here as to, okay, what is the specific reason that Christopher Steele is saying, okay, I want to testify here, and I want to be the first to testify, and I want to be open with the Department of Justice because I believe I'm going to be thrown under the bus. By whom? It can only be those other parties, those other people that are involved in the possible conspiracy.
They're loaded for bear. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary. He's Eric. Eric is off tonight. It's me and you. 866-90-RED-EYE if you would like to get into the show. So, yeah, there's where we're at. Nancy Pelosi's, you know, saying she doesn't want him impeached. She wants him in prison. Doesn't say why. We know Gerald Nadler talking yesterday, talking about an impeachment inquiry. He wants to go that route. That's where they wish to go. Nancy Pelosi does not wish to go there. And so you want to know why that's going on? They know they don't have anything on Trump. They are just trying to do anything they can to deflect the media attention away from what they believe is possibly coming down the pike with Attorney General William Barr. That's it. So the whole Christopher Steele thing, the last 48 hours, where he is now going to do an interview, with the federal prosecutors, has to be scaring the daylights out of them. And so it looks like Barr, from what we can see, is going down every single path. I got some response here stating that, well, are they going to check on Hillary? If you mean Hillary, I did see there was, where was the article? Maybe the person who wrote that to me saw the article that I saw yesterday that said all paths lead to Hillary. And it's saying that the path, and I'm like, lead to Hillary? Oh, because the Hillary campaign paid for the actual dossier. Yeah, so you can make that point. It leads straight to Hillary. But did Hillary do anything wrong, or did the Hillary campaign or the DNC do anything wrong by paying the money to the law firm, which then paid the money to Fusion GPS, that then paid that campaign money went to Christopher Steele? The only wrongdoing that we see, because there is no, it's like the Trump Tower thing, how the left would go crazy with the Trump Tower thing. There's nothing wrong with the Trump Tower thing. Trump can meet. Anybody in Trump's campaign can meet with the Russian to get dirt on another campaign. There's nothing illegal about that. Now, the part that may be illegal with Hillary and the actual campaign money is that campaign money made its way to a foreign national who then did work for you. That breaks campaign finance law, from what we are told, because the money went to a foreign national. There really hasn't been. I really wonder. Well, we'll let Barr look into that one, huh? I'm sure Barr will look into that. But as to the Hillary campaign, the only thing you could say is, I mean, and we've asked this question. Did they use the law firm and not go directly to Fusion GPS to have a buffer? That you can funnel the money. You can hide the money a little bit better. And I don't know. That I'm asking the question as an investigator would ask. Why did they go to the law firm who then went to Fusion GPS and then, you know, went to the former British spy? You do have buffers of the money trail, but the buffers of them, because somebody asked, well, that makes it seem like it doesn't come from the campaign. And I said, well, just the opposite. To an investigator, it makes it seem like you're trying to hide the fact that you're doing it because you're trying to buffer the money. You're trying to buffer, you know, yourself from the eventual person who is doing the opposition research for you. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing illegal about getting opposition research. There is something illegal if you take that opposition research and you sell it as intelligence to get a FISA warrant. And a FISA warrant is a secret warrant. There could be manipulation of intelligence. There could be perjury. There could be a number of other crimes. And that is, I'm sure, the direction that Barr is going. But Christopher Steele wanting to testify, he himself
we are at a loss as to what possible crimes he might believe or his lawyers might believe that the Justice Department might come after him for, or that those that were involved in the possible conspiracy in the FBI and the intelligence agencies, what their lawyers might turn on Christopher Steele and say, he's the guy that did the wrongdoing. He's to blame for everything. He sold it as legit intelligence. So he's trying to get there. He's trying to get to law enforcement and testify before anybody else. Because I don't think that anybody else probably, I could be wrong, but I don't think that, at least in the near future, that you're going to have anybody else whose names you have heard run to William Barr to testify first. But then again, you never know. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, let us go to you. We go to, we go to Paul. Paul, well, I don't know where Paul is from, but Paul, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Paul.
Hey, I think Stephen Halper has a lot more to do with it than what he's saying. I think Christopher Steele is going to come in there and tell him that he was being used as a scapegoat. That none of the information that he was given, he couldn't verify his own information. He went to Kristen Cavillac with the State Department, right? Okay. 2 days later, he went back to her and told her a different story, and that's when she realized none of this is making sense. She sent a memo to the FBI and says none of this is.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
We still use the information.
Yes, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So see, I'm thinking Stephen Halper's probably got something more to do with this, because what I was hearing from somewhere else, they said that Stephen Halper was working with one of the one of his informants, is what it was.
Right, Stephen Halper was an informant for the FBI.
Right, but they were saying that he was working with somebody at Cambridge or something like that, one of the Russian intelligence people that was giving information to Christopher Steele. So I'm thinking those two right there have got something to do with this.
Well, and let's let's not forget Christopher Steele's relationship with British intelligence, because Trump being over there and the cry for Trump to find out and demand that British intelligence come clean as to what they might know about all of this. So, yeah, it keeps. I tried to make it simple, the flow chart, but we can make it extremely complicated as we expand out the flow chart of possible wrongdoing. Yes, go ahead.
Well, see, they actually had, he told Captain Cavillac that he needed to get this information out prior to a certain date, before the election came out, because it was opposition research.
Yes.
You know, this is what he told her at that time. I do believe that Glenn Simpson is actually going to be more tied to it than what they're originally saying. I think if Barr digs deep enough, he's going to find out that Glenn Simpson had a lot more to do with it. He's going to find out Stephen Halper had a lot more to do with it.
But you know something, when you talk about it, because Glenn Simpson had the direct line to Christopher Steele, which means if Christopher Steele is the first to speak, will Glenn Simpson be the next to speak? Because remember, at this moment, they are simply the messengers.
Right.
You know, I mean, from what we know of possible crimes, any crime that they have, which is still to be identified, would be a lesser than trying to manipulate intelligence to get a FISA warrant, I guess would be my point. Right. So would they be more likely to, I mean, if Steele speaks, will Glenn Simpson be the next one to say, okay, I'm ready to come clean and do an interview with federal investigators? And is that exactly what they want? Thanks so much. I appreciate your call. Like I said, I tried to make the flow chart easier, and I knew somebody's going to call up and say, well, but about this and what about, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But that's the fascinating part about it. I was trying to simplify it so people could get interested. And then once you get interested, then you can continue the conversation as we just did, because it does get really, really fascinating. All right. More of your calls and comments coming up 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Eric is off this morning. It is me and you. Well, Carter Page will be doing an interview with federal prosecutors. What did I say, Carter Page? Christopher Steele will be doing Christopher Steele, the former British spy, the author of the dossier. And we've been talking about that and what he is attempting, you know, what information he has and what the attorney general wants and why, what is his incentive to testify. We'd played the audio cut from the New York Times reporter who said he doesn't want to be thrown under the bus. We said thrown under the bus by whom? That's the big question. Let's go to Dan in Virginia. Dan, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Your flow chart is doing very good. I've been with you the whole time.
Thanks.
I have a question about the Chief Justice Roberts. Will he cooperate with Barr because he's the one that appoints the secret judges? That's number one. And number two, the FISA court had some abuses before 2011 when Mueller was there.
Yes, we've talked about that. That expands the flow chart because other dot that is not fully connected yet, but is headed in the line is headed in the direction is if there was FISA abuse there, we know that the FISA court and Rosemary Collier wrote a report rebuking the Obama administration for not following the rules that were set down that they had agreed upon, and then American citizens' rights were violated from the time period of 2011 to 2016 when Admiral Rogers went right before the election and went to the FISA court and said, we haven't been following what you've been telling us what to do. And that was after getting the Carter Page FISA warrant. We don't know whether that was included in any of the wrongdoing or not, but we know what the timeline is. And yes, Robert Mueller, as we've said, was the head of the FBI from 2011 to 2013, and we have asked all of those questions. Joe DiGenova said on Fox News that the FISA court, that Barr has all of that, that Barr has all of that and has the cooperation of Rosemary Collier, who was the presiding judge of the FISA court. So I hope that is true. I hope DiGenova and his sources are accurate on that. But I believe that they probably are because it seems like Attorney General Barr is quite thorough and he will want to investigate that. And remember, it was Rand Paul who said numerous times he believes that his campaign was spied on, too. So and that goes back a ways back. And so that has always been the question. Did it go on even before? And who were the other people during that time period of 2011 to 2016 who the FISA court is rebuking the Obama administration for violating the rights of American citizens? Who are those American citizens whose rights were violated? Now, we know, we do know from what was unredacted that a lot of what they were looking at was how they identified people, that it was intelligence things that they were doing that was wrong. For example, being able to identify somebody by an email or phone number or whatever. We don't know with other wrongdoings when it came to application for FISA warrants, evidence. We don't know that. So we're, as we said last week, we're not willing to make that jump and say it does tie to the former FBI directors or anybody inside the Department of Justice because we don't know. You can ask the question, but we are not making that accusation at all because that's information that we don't have, either doesn't exist, didn't happen, or we don't have access to at this time. So we want to be very careful. The last thing we want to do is what the Democrats did. And the Democrats threw out a general allegation that, you know, did Trump collude with the Russians to hack the election without any evidence and not connecting any dot anywhere ever? We won't do that. That is not the right thing to do. I look at that from a journalistic perspective. That would be what they did was immoral. By not having any dots connected, as we do, because we can connect them all day, as we did tonight with the what we call the basic flow chart, which then is expanded out. You've got a starting point, and the starting point goes in many different directions. With Trump, they had nothing. As Erica has clarified many times, all they had was a general allegation question, which was, did Trump collude with the Russians to hack the election? And now we know that all that evidence and that question came from the dossier.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, because you can podcast at any time. RedEyeRadioShow.com or get our app. And it's so easy to listen to us 24/7. In the news, oh, by the way, Erica out sick this morning, so it's just me and you. In the news today, wow, apparently Nancy Pelosi and Gerald Nadler went at it. Nadler wants an impeachment inquiry. Pelosi does not. She said she doesn't want to impeach the president, but she does want to see him in prison. From what we know, she didn't state any possible crime, as none of them have been able to state any possible crime except some obscure references to obstruction of justice, which they can never explain. Gerald Nadler had this to say yesterday.
We are launching an inquiry now. And whether we'll launch an impeachment inquiry, it may come to that.
Huh?
Let me put it this way. It may come to that. It may very well come to a formal impeachment inquiry. We will see. They have tried to play us for fools, and we're not fools. We've been through this story before. We make a good faith offers. They make a bad faith offer, which doesn't move at all or moves very little. And then this goes on back and forth for weeks. And then the night before the McGahn is supposed to appear at the hearing, they say he won't appear.
So there you go. There's where Gerald Nadler is here at the moment. Pelosi doesn't want to do it, but the pressure is increasing every day. We mentioned earlier that you have the Democrat members of the House who now want the psychiatrist to believe that the president is unfit for office to hold a town hall meeting with members of the House there to explain why the president is unfit for office. I do believe that this is a, quote, insurance plan. The quote may come from Peter Strzok, but it applies here. When they can't find any high crime and misdemeanor, they will take, I can just see this. In an impeachment inquiry, they will bring in some of these psychiatrists to say that the president is unfit. And if it comes down to it, there will be a bunch. I don't know whether they'll have enough to actually do it in the House, but they'll have a bunch of Democrats saying, see, this is proof that the president is unfit for office and therefore needs to be impeached. So there's where we are there. Nancy Pelosi saying she wants to see Trump in prison, but so far has not yet identified any crime that should put him in prison. We think that probably is something that somebody as powerful as the Speaker of the House, you would think that they would extend that courtesy when making that kind of statement. We'll see what is said on this later on today and whether she is asked by reporters or whether she appears before reporters today and answers that question. Other news, which I think all relates, Christopher Steele, the former British spy, who was the author of the dossier that we know is being investigated, has agreed to talk to federal investigators. A lot of people asking why. Earlier we had played a New York Times reporter who said he doesn't want to be thrown under the bus. And we said, thrown under the bus by whom? The only thing we can think of is the other people that might be involved in a possible conspiracy. To with the conspiracy? Yeah, to sell the dossier as legit intelligence. So we'll see also where that goes. In other news, Senate Republicans say President Trump should postpone tariffs set to be imposed on Mexican exports on Monday and allow more time for negotiators to reach a deal. Yesterday, though, the president said that the deal is a no-go, that they weren't able to reach in their negotiations enough to stop the tariffs from happening next Monday. Here is the president in Ireland talking about the tariffs.
We've told Mexico the tariffs go on, and I mean it too, and I'm very happy with it. And a lot of people, senators included, they have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to tariffs. They have no, absolutely no idea. We're the piggy bank. The United States is the piggy bank. It has all the money that others want to take from us, but they're not taking it so easy anymore. It's a lot different.
If somebody can explain to me what the president means by that, I would really welcome that. Because I do believe I know what he's saying. It is the long-held thought of the president that there's only one good side to trading. And that's when somebody buys your product and gives you their currency, that when the opposite happens, that you're actually losing. The president has stated that many times before, and the president could not be more wrong. Otherwise, nobody would trade. Both sides of trade are good. In fact, what you would actually want, the ultimate of what you would actually want, is 100% of what the president does not. The best situation would be that you bought everybody else's products and you gave them pieces of paper or electronic pieces of paper. And you got the durable good because all you're giving them is a piece of paper or an electronic piece of currency, and you have the durable good. This is, again, the continuation or the evolution, and it's a circular evolution because the president has taken, again, and now he's to the opposite point of view when he talks free trade, because his free trade deals aren't lined up with what he just said right there. This is the biggest disservice. The biggest disservice the president has done so far is on trade, where he has held every single position on it. And it has to be frustrating for those economists who serve under him, because you can't hold every single opinion contradictory to another opinion a day after you've said one thing. You're the complete opposite, economically speaking, of what you've said the day before. It just confuses markets. It confuses everybody. But I believe that's where the president is at, is that he's back to the fact that there's only that the U.S. is the piggy bank, that they take our dollars and they give us their durable goods. So that's good. We're giving them a piece of paper, electronic currency. They're giving us a durable good. And people say, yeah, but then someday the dollar will be worth nothing. Well, the fact is, the opposite happens. And we have a huge, as we've talked about before, a huge investment surplus. Eventually, every single country that takes an American dollar, whether a piece of paper or electronic currency, has to buy a good or service from the United States. Otherwise, the dollar is useless. And when that starts happening, the dollar will become worth less. And then the opposite will happen. People will want to buy our goods. So, like I said, with Obama, I wish we could have sat down and just, but they won't. I don't think anybody's ever, and a politician's ever honest with you, but you know more about what we think about trade and how economies work than you do presidents that are in office. They speak in memes, is what they do. But the president there again talking about how there's only one good side of trade. The only good side. If it's the other side, you're losing. You're not losing anything. Both the senators in the state of Texas, both Cornyn and Cruz, broke ranks with the president yesterday. Eric was talking about it and said, expect that to happen. And we thought it would happen because there is no state that will be more affected by the Mexico tariffs than the state of Texas. It will affect the state of Texas the most. The president's still also trying to sell the fact that Mexico pays the tariffs, where it's the consumer in the United States that pays the tariffs. I don't know why he continues to say that. He knows it's not true, and he continues to say that. And we know he knows that's not true because when he first was promoting building the wall, he was saying we'll put tariffs on Mexico to build the wall, and then he backed off when his advisors told him, Mexico won't be paying for the wall. U.S. consumers pay the tariff. Companies, U.S. companies get affected by it, and the consumer is affected by it. They're the ones that actually have to pay the tariff. When the president talks about the billions going into the Treasury, that comes from American taxpayers. That comes from American citizens. It doesn't come from Mexico. And he knows it, and he continues to try to sell that falsehood, and I wish he wouldn't. I don't know why he does that, and I don't know why, for somebody who's been in business for such a long time, he cannot come to one economic philosophy. Well, he'll change it every day, because I'm very pleased. We have stated this before, and this has to be frustrating, and we know it has been to Trump supporters that are more populist and agree with the president on his protectionist policies, that believe that there's only one good side of trade, because the actual trade agreements don't fit what the president claims that he wants. I'm very pleased with the majority of the trade agreements with Mexico and Canada, but it's not what the president has been selling. And that's the confusion that really the media doesn't address. We address it, and it is confusing because we don't believe the president needs to be disingenuous or all over the place when it comes to explaining economy and trade. And for some reason, he is. Coming up, Joe Biden, he's all over the place. He's starting to talk on the issues. We told you as soon as he started talking about the issues, he'd be in trouble. And he is. It'll be interesting to see if he continues to talk the issues, what his poll numbers will be 2 or 3 weeks from now. Because every single thing that he brings up, there's a gaffe involved in it. Every single one. And the Democrats and the media are starting to hit it now. We'll get to that and more. Plus, some of your calls and comments coming up here. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says he is days away from announcing details on the $16 billion market facilitation program, which is aimed at helping farmers who are suffering from trade losses.
I was planning to do it on Friday, but it may be next week.
He indicated the issue is a priority.
We're in the throes of making that decision, and I believe people deserve an answer sooner rather than later.
Meanwhile, he acknowledged,
there's some stressful situations out in the preventive planting areas of the country. A lot of acres have not been able to be planted.
He urged farmers not to make their planting decisions based on expectations for the MFP, which he stressed is not the same thing as prevented planting insurance.
What would those people do without an MFP program, which is really different than prevented planting? The market facilitation program is designed for tariff disruptions, and we have a safety net and insurance over prevented planting.
His comments came on the sidelines of the Honor the Harvest Forum in Maryland. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. He's under the weather. We hope he's feeling better and returns for tomorrow's show. So Mexico and the United States couldn't come to an immigration deal, so the tariffs are supposed to take place on Monday, starting at 5% on all Mexican goods coming into the United States. Here is Senator John Cornyn from the state of Texas.
Tariffs, on the other hand, would be a massive tax. The U.S. Chamber estimates that Texas alone would face $5.35 billion in increased costs as a result of a 5% tariffs that could take effect as early as Monday. This translates into about $1,000 more on a car. I can only hope they come up with some sort of agreement so these tariffs do not go into effect.
Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania.
We would all be better off if we don't put a round of tariffs on Mexico. And let's see what happens.
And so we'll see what happens. I said, you know, we comment on it because, you know, with the comments from the politicians and the comments from the president. But as I said, until we get to next week, we've been through this so many times before where we think something's going to happen and it doesn't. But we'll see where this happens at this point. But look, there are some economic concerns that we have. For us, it's the fact, as we've stated today, when we've looked at, you know, when we talked earlier about the Democrats wanting to get all these psychiatrists together to, you know, evaluate Trump and tell the nation that he's unfit to serve as president of the United States. I agree with most of what the president, you know, has put forward. There are some things I disagree with. You know, one of the things we disagree with is on tariffs and economic issues where, you know, I like the free trade deals that were actually put together, but they are not what he sold when he ran to office to a significant portion of his constituents. And we don't still know where he stands when it comes to economic things, because he's promoting, again, the Mexican tariffs as something that's going to be good and the billions of dollars that will come into the coffers. He's selling something that everybody, including himself, knows is false. We don't know why he continues to do that. Because his free trade deals are not anything like he is promoting the benefit of tariffs, because we don't tariff our way to the free trade deals. So it's the biggest mystery I have about this president. I have no idea how his mind works when it comes to trade and free trade. I know what he has said over the last 40 years. And I think he actually believes that there is good trade and bad trade. But when it actually comes to the free trade agreement, they're opening up markets for both sides. It's actually the free trade deals is what during the campaign, and even yesterday, he was saying he doesn't want. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. So, with the president on this one, I sit back and I just say, okay, what will the end conclusion be? And the end conclusion for the free trade deal was good. I like what we eventually got. I don't know why he is selling the free trade deals as being great, but at times not great. Well, it's your people that did it. So I just, for the life of me, this is one thing I will always be baffled about this president, where he actually stands on economics. I don't know. 866-90-RED-EYE, it is time for your national forecast.
Tropical moisture in the Gulf of Mexico from an area not expected to develop into a hurricane off South Texas is going to spread some heavy rain across areas already saturated. Flash flooding is certainly possible and expected in the lower delta of the Mississippi. Isolated severe thunderstorms, damaging winds, large hail possible with that system. We'll see Seattle under rain chances today, 62. Cheyenne, Wyoming, where there's been some very interesting weather this week, including large hail and tornadoes aloft, 76 today, the high, with a chance of thunderstorms. Phoenix, 102 and clear. Chicago, 63 and partly cloudy. As you get up into the northeast, we'll see heavy rain today from the New England states in through Boston and New York City. Lighter chances of rain extending from the mid-Atlantic into the Carolinas. There's a look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Young, fresh, hip, and cool. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on the new Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome, and good morning. If I was a little late there, sorry that my headphone plug fell out. I was like, I'm looking over them, like, he's looking at me like something's going, oh, wait, I hear something. Oh, my headphone's not plugged in. All right, so everything is set now. 866-90-RED-EYE. I do want to play this audio cut because we've been talking about through the morning about Nancy Pelosi stating that she wants to see Trump in jail and Gerald Nadler pushing to go for impeachment and everything going on here between also the back and forth, you know, with the House Judiciary Committee and the Department of Justice to hold a contempt vote. And they were talking about this, retired CIA operative and CNN counterterrorism analyst Phil Mudd, not a fan of Trump, and I'm with Don Lemon. I thought it was really interesting how they tied it in all together, just like we've been tying it in all together, except this was on CNN. Here you go.
Yeah, Phil, this is for you. The Judiciary Chairman Nadler rejecting the DOJ's demanded delay. They want to delay Barr's contempt vote next week. Nadler is saying that he wants to negotiate with them without those conditions. So what's the stall tactic here?
Well, I think this the stall tactic is in DOJ's advantage. They got a couple of opportunities here. Number one, the conversation is all about documents. Again, going back to the difference between the law and politics, you can talk about documents all you want. I think most of the American people are sitting back saying, I don't really know what the heck you're talking about. There's one other issue nobody talks about, Don, that's important here, and that is eventually the FBI and the Department of Justice are going to conclude the investigations to how this investigation itself was initiated.
Right.
I'm going to predict to you that that is going to go ugly early. In other words, the Democrats have a clock ticking. If they can't get things underway before the Department of Justice says, here's our report on how the investigation was initiated, they're in trouble because the Department of Justice, I'm going to tell you, is going to say, when this thing got started about the Trump campaign, it was pretty ugly, and then we're off to the races. The White House will have some real ammo.
But
there you go. See, they know. That's why they're pulling out everything right now. That's why Nadler wants the impeachment. And so you may be saying, oh, you guys are talking about this because you're on the president's side. They aren't at CNN. Phil Mudd certainly isn't. He sees it coming down. The Democrats see it coming down. And I also believe that's why the Democrats in the House are talking about bringing all the psychiatrists to have a town hall meeting with members of Congress to talk about how Trump is unfit. Because that is their, quote, insurance plan when they can't find anything, when I keep repeating this quote from the outlaw Josie Wales with the old Native American man who was always hanging around with Clint Eastwood, And when he said, hell's coming to breakfast, that's all I can think of, because that's what Phil Mudd sees it. If you're paying attention, you know it's coming down. And they are trying to do as much as possible to try to redirect the attention of the media from what the attorney general is doing, because they believe it's going to get ugly real quick. And they believe the only chance they have to keep the talk going otherwise is to talk about impeaching Trump. But still then they're going to have problems when the attorney general starts coming out and saying this was all bogus. So there you go. Let's head to you. We go to Jeff in Corsicana, Texas. Jeff, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Very
Love
good.
Y'all's show. Listen to it every morning on the way to work.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I was just thinking that, you know, everybody's looking at these tariffs the wrong way, because I think Trump is trying to work both sides of the fence. He's trying to get Congress, show Congress that this is the only way that I can get the wall built or any kind of help on immigration. Yes, it may hurt Texas or it may hurt us, but it's the only way we can stop, you know, immigration, because y'all will not give me any help. Congress will not help me.
How does hurting the United States economy convince the Democrats to come to the table?
I'm not sure on that. I'm just trying to,
I understand that the president feels a sense of desperation, because he's not wrong on wanting to secure the border. He's not wrong at all. It's how you do it. Remember, this came out of nowhere. It was initially said that, oh no, people were aboard, and then it came out later on. This is completely, the president just said, here's what I'm going to do now. My point with the president is he needs to be consistent. You need to plan these things. You need to have a strategy of how to defeat the Democrats. You don't do it by reactionary tweets and reactionary tariffs. You don't sit there one day and say, we've got a great deal now with Mexico and Canada for a free trade deal. Now I want Nancy Pelosi to come aboard and we've got this great free trade deal. And then the next day come out and say, I'm going to put tariffs on Mexico. Well, you just blew what you said the day before. The president was strictly reactionary on this. What I want is consistent messaging coming from the White House that will defeat the Democrats, because I don't want any chance of having a bad economy come November 2020, because there is no option. Trump is the only option to be president, and I want them to do the right thing. And I don't believe he gets there by having a bad economy and by being reactionary as he is. It needs to be calculated. It needs to be consistent. You need to strategize. You can beat these people. They're nuts.
I mean, they really are.
This isn't that hard. And it's like, and I know at times, I'm not telling the president not to be the president, because you know he is going to be reactionary to some extent. But at times he cuts his own political throat. And when you're on, all of a sudden you're on one thing where it's looking good, the economy looks like it's going to rebound, and all of a sudden you do this, it is going to hurt the economy. He needs a good economy. It's the one thing that the polls show people love about this guy, and it's the one thing that they'll go to the polls and say, yep, this is why we want you to be president of the United States. Any of my criticism towards Trump is not based on the fact that I don't wish him to be president. All my criticism towards the president is I wish him to stay president, because the other option is completely and totally unacceptable, because, and I'll say it again, and I'm not, this isn't political rhetoric, they're nuts. When Joe Biden says his number one thing that he would do, the number one most important thing next week or last weekend, he said, would be the Equality Act, which means to ensure that we recognize that any man can be a woman. When they say that I'm a woman, when that's the number one thing of a major political party candidate for president of the United States, I think I can safely say they're nuts. And it's just not acceptable. The other thing is with this whole thing here. I just believe we've said this before. The whole trade thing is the trade thing has been done wrong. Even with China, I agree with what the president is doing right now because of the situation. We can't go back and change things, but I think we should have isolated China instead of trying to isolate the United States against our friendly trading partners that we could have negotiated the same kind of plan that we got. We didn't get any great victory of tariffs with Mexico and China, or excuse me, Mexico and Canada. It's basically the same trade agreement that we had before. It's going to be a new name, updated technology with Canada, a little bit here with dairy, a little bit over there with timber, but the basic 98% of the goods going through, still no tariffs on. Same thing with Mexico. The only thing that the president got with Mexico was increasing the cost of automobiles made in Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And he bragged about it for a week and then dropped it because that's not something to brag about. So he got his little victory there. I don't think it's going to affect much. It's going to increase the cost of cars a little bit, but the basic trade deal is what we had before. So why did you go through all of it? What did you get for the steel tariffs? What did you get except increased taxes and less economic growth in the United States? People say he's a great negotiator. I have to ask, negotiating for what? With China, I understand, but I still believe we should have isolated China and brought together all of our friendly trading partners. We don't need to be in a trade war with Europe. There's really no reason to do so. We didn't never had to be in a trade war with Canada or Mexico. Didn't need to do it. And with immigration, I think from the day one, the president should have handled this in a different way. The whole marketing of the Republican Party should have been focused on going after the Democrats from day one. Consistent messaging day in and day out. Never stop. The Democrats want open borders. We don't. We're trying to bring them to the table. They won't come to the table. You make it crystal clear. You hold town hall meetings on all the border cities and cities across America, and you talk the immigration problem. You make it a big thing. You defeat this party that is delusional by being as common sense and as critical thinking as possible. Not that he can't still be Trump. Trump's going to be Trump. So be emotional. Eric and I laugh at the tweets all the time. You can still be sarcastic. You can still mess with them as he does on social media. But you can still be consistent and put out a coherent message, a critical thinking message each and every day. Because by and far what the president believes on the majority of the issues to me is common sense. It makes sense. Sell it. And if there's one thing that I look, and by the way, this isn't just Trump's, it's been the Republican Party's fault for the last 15 years. So I don't want to throw this all on Trump. It's also on the Republicans. But when you've got, I look at the resources of what they have. I see what the Democrats are attempting to sell. And I see the resources that the Republicans have. And over a 15-year period, we're talking about what? Billions of dollars that they can use for marketing. You can't beat these people? You can't beat their insane mindset? Of course you can. But you have to be committed, and you have to be organized, and you've got to plan it. You have to have a coherent and a consistent common sense attack on what they believe, and convince and show the American people that you're the common sense, critical thinking party. And it's never been easier because, and I'm not saying this to get people angry or over the top political rhetoric. It's just the reality. They're nuts. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, our friends at PACCAR have a product for your toolbox called PACLINK. It provides real-time information about what's going on with your truck. Michelle Moline is manager of product development for PACLINK and has more details.
PACLINK is basically a mobile diagnostic device that has a Bluetooth chip in it that allows you to use your phone to read why the check engine light is on in your truck. One of our biggest users is actually our own dealerships at PACCAR. Now, our dealers are also reselling this product to customers, and customers, owner-operators or fleet drivers, use this while they're on the road so that if they have a check engine light that comes on, they can easily just use their phone to plug this thing in and see what's going on and then either send a report back to their dispatcher to await further instructions or, in the case of an owner-operator, possibly even just figure out what needs to be done and go from there. It's a very simple ordering process. Go to PACCAR.com/PACLINK, P-A-C-L-I-N-K. I should mention, too, that if you're a member of OOIBA Association, you receive a 10% discount by logging into the OOIBA website.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. It's going to be okay, Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. It's going to be okay, Gary. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out. Everything's going to work out, all right? Don't worry about it. It's all going to work out. This is just getting to the final conclusion that I agree with most of what's going on. So just waiting for the conclusion. Let's get to the end. Let's really across the board when you think about it. When it comes to the president and trade deals, which, like I said, I eventually end up liking more than I dislike, which is really good. And a president that I agree with 60 to 70% of the time, with a normal Republican president, maybe 30 to 40%. So, like I said, I'm very, 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 very happy. And as to the attorney general and what's happened there, so far, very happy with the direction that that's going. So that's why I have to talk to myself here on the air. As you see, I am going through my own therapy here. And maybe I need some help myself. It's going to be okay, Gary. It's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. Everything's going to be. If Eric was here, he'd say, no, we're doomed.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.